to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Anybody here want to lift up your voice and say it with me? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you can't say nothing else, wave your hands and tell the Lord, you've been good. You've been kind. And I want to thank you. I can't be there for my children, but you can, God. I can't be at the every call, but call on the Lord. Say yeah. Say yeah. I know he's all right. Anybody here? I say, anybody here see a cause for a celebration? I heard Brother Bobby, while he was trying to encourage you, he did a good job. But some people won't let you encourage them. But I want to tell you something. While he was talking about go ahead and get the touchdown, and he talked about how when you receive it, I'm in the receiving position. My hands are up. But when I get a touchdown, he said the whole team celebrate. But there is a thing in the National Football League called a flag for excessive celebration. I don't mind. A good coach don't mind if you get excessive in your celebration, because we're going to win. Anybody here want to get with me and give an excessive celebration? Throw the flag. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to lift him up. Say yes. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Anybody here? Anybody know him? Well, if you know him, tell him thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Say yeah. I know.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn them to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And I want to lift out verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. And it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Solomon, one of the wisest men who ever lived, save Jesus, is speaking and sharing this word known as the preacher. And he's revealing to us some interesting facts about this issue called season and time and purpose. How, in the grand scheme of things, how it has a divinely ordained role from God. It is divinely ordered by God, and it is divinely operated by God. It's important to recognize this before we go even any further, because one of the things that I think will be helpful for us to understand is that this issue of season affects so many areas of our lives. When we look in the sense of the elements, many of us are familiar with the four seasons: winter, spring, summer, and fall. There is a divine season called due time or due season. There are seasons that are designed for certain things to happen during those times and those times alone. One of the interesting things about the text is that the text says to everything. And when it says everything, it means everything. He says there is a season. Now keep in mind, this is Solomon talking about God's perspective on things, that everything that is has been brought into reality in its season. And in its season, let me help see if I can make it a little plainer. In its season, it has a specific time to reveal its purpose. In its season, in its window of opportunity, in the allotted time, listen, whatever God's purpose is for that thing, it has to happen in a timely manner to fulfill its purpose during that time and that time only. You see, one of the reasons why you've got to know how important seasons are as it relates to the Word of God is the fact that many of your blessings are in seasonal patterns. There are certain things that God does in certain seasons. If you look at our agricultural realities, there are certain plants that grow in certain seasons. There are certain trees that blossom in certain seasons. Notice everything there is that's planted don't grow at the same time. Certain seasons yield certain fruit, and planting has to do with the same. And so if you miss the window of opportunity, then you miss the purpose for that season altogether and thus come up shorthanded. So this is important, because sometimes you can be right but in the wrong season. You can have the right thing in the wrong season. That's why if you ever try to, people talking about, I don't have a green thumb. No, maybe you might need to read and make sure you're planting in the right season, but you're planting, because that may not be the season to plant. And so you can't plant in plucking season. You got to realize plucking has a season and planting has a season. But you got to make sure that each one comes in its proper season to fulfill its proper purpose. All right, now why are we saying all of this? Because of what follows what Solomon has just said. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose. You will learn one of the reasons the devil causes us to miss many of our blessings is because we don't know seasons. We don't know that when God moves, you remember the story in the Bible about the troubling, when the angel would trouble the water? And the first person who would get in after the angel troubled the water would receive their healing, their deliverance, their blessing, their breakthrough. But it had to happen when? In that season, when the angel had finished stirring the water. And there was a man there lying by the pool of Bethesda. And Jesus asked him, did he want to be healed? And he told Jesus, every time I get ready to get in the pool, somebody jump in the pool ahead of me. Now, he was 38 years old, had been by the pool, sat there many years waiting for the troubling of the water. But he got one problem. He ain't the only one who want to get in the pool. He's not the only one who wants a healing. He's not the only one who needs a deliverance. He's not the only one waiting on a breakthrough. So when that troubling of the water came, they did away with the number system. It's every man for himself. And every man always beat him in getting in the water. And so because they always beat him, he started telling Jesus about his problem when Jesus was trying to get him to say what he wanted. Now, again, it's because he missed his season. I can tell you story after story in the Word about people missing their seasons and thus missing their blessing, because God works in seasons. Seasons. And so it's important to recognize it's a divinely ordained reality by God. But secondly, it's divinely ordered by God, because God is the one who's really doing the operation. What we do is the participation in the season. In other words, we can't make the season come and go. All we can do is do our part when the season gets here. And if we don't do our part when the season gets here, then we lose out on our part or our benefit in that season, because the purpose has not been fulfilled. Are y'all listening to me today? All right. Now, the third thing is most important to understand. It's divinely operated, meaning this, that what you're going to discover about these other seasons I'm going to share with you is not so much for your benefit as much as it is for God's order of the world. If you think it's for your benefit only, just die and see if they keep on going. You're going to figure out that you fit into the process, but you're not the reason God has done this. So what is that saying to me? That I need to find my place and operate according to the order of God, because God does things decently and in order. Now, here's something that might blow your mind. There are 28 seasons of life. 28 seasons of life. And guess what? It's been right there in the book all along, and you missed them. This ain't no new word. I didn't add this to your Bible today. That's been there. But the question is, did you realize that? Solomon is talking about 28 seasons, and all 28 seasons deal with the positive and the negative of that season. It deals with the good and the bad, if you will, of that season. It deals with the opposites of that season. And so one of the things you need to realize is it makes more sense when you realize who's operating it. Now, here's what I need you to see. Because when I read through this, I'm like, my God, and discovered there was 28 seasons in life, and I realized that I had no control over those 28 seasons, but I did participate in those seasons, and my participation in those seasons were for a specific purpose that God had designed for me to do so that I could get my profit out of that season. Then it made me realize that what he did for his glory and my good. And when I give God the glory, how many of you know he doesn't have a problem with giving me his goods? So here's what it says in verse 1. A time to be born. Now look at the opposite of that. And it's a conjunction tied together. A time to die. So what does this say? In the cycle of life, where there is birth and life, there's also going to be death. In other words, I can never enter into the season of life and be born and never experience the rest of the cycle. Now, the difference of when death comes varies for each one of us, but it's within the cycle of life. So it says, a time to be born and a time to die. Then it says, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Now, keep in mind, if I'm thinking about myself doing these things, I miss it. Because here's what should give me a helpful holy hint in the first place. I didn't bring myself here in the first place. Mama and daddy with their 23 chromosomes each got together. When they got together, connected, I was conceived. Within that first 8 weeks, I was an embryo in an embryonic stage. After the 8 weeks, I became a fetus. I could keep on walking through it, but can't you say amen? I'm just trying to help you understand that the progress of life kept on going until I was delivered. And once I was delivered, I was headed to my grave. I'm still headed to my grave over 50 some years later, but time has played its part in my getting there. So when I come to grips with the fact that anybody who's here one day will no longer be here, the only question is, will Jesus come back before we are dead or before we are transfigured and taken back with him? So if you're alive, guess what? You're gonna die. That's the cold hard truth. All right, plant, pluck up. If I'm planting something, it's because I want what it is I'm planting. So when it's full and grown and ripe, guess what I'm going to do with it? I don't go plant no tomatoes and no okra and no this, that, and the other just to say, oh, look how pretty. No, 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 no. I want to get them and eat them and share them and all the rest of that. But they are there for the purpose of plucking. And all of that happens in its season. Both the planting and the plucking. Verse 3 says, a time to kill and and a time to heal. Now, you know, but God, are you telling me to kill? No, that's not at all what he's saying. This actually refers back to God. Remember, it's God ordained. One night, God took an angel and killed 185,000 enemies of Israel in one night for messing with the children of God. He killed those people through that angel because God wanted us to know that life and death is in his power. He can give life and he can take life. So therefore, after he again says that, he says, and also to heal. A time to kill and a time to heal. My question is, do you have the power in and of yourself to heal anybody you kill? Not at all. But God can. A time to break down and a time to build up. All of these things are talking about God. It's talking about Israel. It's talking about the people of God. It's talking about the patterns of God. It's talking about what God is doing in the earth realm in one place or another. Verse 4, a time to weep and a time to laugh. Listen at this now. God says there is a time to weep. The Bible says in the shortest verse, John 11:35, Jesus wept. But then the Bible says, and a time to laugh. Notice between each one, there is an AND, a conjunction, which joins those two together in that season. Wherever there is a weeping, in that season, there's going to be laughter. Are you listening to me? All right. Why is that so important to the believer? To understand that trouble won't last. I know sometimes you cry and it seems like you never stop crying. It seems like trouble is so hard and so fierce and it's so long that you don't even remember the last time you laughed or you smiled or you enjoyed life. But I need you to hold on. That season ain't over with yet. For it's over with, you will be laughing. He says, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Mourning is not going to last always. You won't always be down. There are times you're going to come where you're able to celebrate and rejoice over the victories of God in your life. And those are some challenges you're going to have to come through. Verse 5 says, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. And then it says a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Now listen at this here. If you're casting stones, many times it is bringing up ridicule and so forth and so on. And that comes a time when, you know, in life we do that. We do cast stones. All right. But that comes a time when we enter into an area where we no longer do that, either through growth, either through divine intervention. And so therefore we cast away the stones that we use to be able to do that with. But then there's a time when things happen and we start regathering them again for preparation, impending things that will come up. The same thing with embracing. You embrace a friend, a loved one. You embrace someone you trust, someone you love. But then when someone has harmed you, has hurt you, someone who has backstabbed you, someone who has done you wrong, you refrain from embracing. You do not embrace an enemy like you embrace a friend. That's being real. I have no desire to embrace somebody who's trying to stab me in the back. I ain't got that much Jesus yet. I'm working on that. I'm still working on turning the other cheek. I sure ain't about to let you get to my back. All right? Six says, a time to get and a time to lose. Why is that important to recognize? Because God does see that time. You'll come, you know, you're coming up, you're growing, you're maturing, you're developing, you are expanding and increasing. It's a time to get. There is a time in life where you ought to be getting all that you can get, growing, evolving, developing, and that's what you ought to be doing, gathering. But in that same time, you realize it's also a time that will come that you will lose. Sometime it may be bad investments. Sometime it may be things that you no longer have the desire to continue to hold on to that you had before, and you realize it doesn't serve you and doesn't mean. You know, there are things that I desired in my 20s that changed in my 40s. There are things now in my 50s that I would just love and wonderfully desire to have when I was in my 20s. Let me give you one example. I've always loved cars, and fast cars especially. And man, in my 20s, I was just so in love with the Corvette, especially the convertible Corvette. Yeah. And I thought it was so cool to slide down in that Corvette. And I'd ride, you know, top down, enjoying myself, whatever the case is. And people are like, hey, all right, yeah. And man, you know, I'd think nothing of jumping in the car and go see my grandmother down in Lafayette, or jump in the car, go to New Orleans, go see my mother and all that, really. You know, and jump on out and run on, do this, that, and the other, come on back. Now in my 50s, I have no desire to sit that low. Can you help me get up? Oh, Lord, have mercy. I don't have that desire to go fast like that no more. Slow down. There's a curve. Things have changed. Am I talking to anybody in the house? There are just some things you lose as you grow older, and you no longer have the same desire for those things. There are things, a time to keep and a time to cast away. You go in your closet. Yeah, I'm gonna keep this. Nice. I'm gonna cast this away here. See something else, you cast it away. Why? Because it no longer serves your purpose or your interest. And then on top of that, you can't get in it no more. You know, you cast it away. Seven, a time to rend. Tear stuff up, you know? Some of you still, I stumbled on a photograph. It kind of made me laugh. What you still doing with the photograph? Oh, now you done got holier than thou, like you don't know what I'm talking about. Back down memory lane. Yeah, yeah. Nancy, I bet you could sing that back in the day, couldn't you? Listen, a time to rend, to tear some things up, because they're no longer of importance to you. They no longer have the place. Tear up old love letters. Tear up